welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. Yes, we're not live from the Boss Hog Studios anymore. We are live from our own studio, thanks to Scott Steyer with Aero Precision, who's our satellite sponsor, getting us on satellite radio with Westwood One. So we appreciate that. And hope everybody's doing good today. You know, we're a law enforcement talk show. We talk about today's news and issues, but the twist is that we do it from a law enforcement perspective. Let me introduce the crew. Guys, if you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show, she is back. Yeah, Sergeant Betsy Brantner Smith. So thanks for, I'm sorry we had to pull you away from Newsmax and Fox News and all those sources but I'm glad you put them on hold to be able to make our show for this hour. So thank you, Betsy. Also, Sergeant Joe Rollerson, retired from the Tampa Bay area after a long and distinguished career. And we've also got Scott Steyer. Now, he's formerly with Stag Arms, and everybody knows about Stag Arms, and now he's with Aero Precision. Scott's got a wonderful and very impressive Special Forces background, and he adds a unique perspective to the show because, you know, in American law enforcement, we do things a little differently than they do out in the field, you know, doing ops. And Scott really brings some good questions. And if he has those, and if we're pointing those out, we know that a lot of our listeners do too. But he knows what to ask and how to ask it, you know, because of his training and background. So it's going to be a fun show. So thanks, guys. Hey, also a shout out to our sponsors. And guys, please remember our sponsors who bring this good quality content to you. Of course, our newest sponsor, Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com. You know, our satellite sponsor. We also have Gauls at Gauls.com/Leo. AU Fire, Gunlearn, BlueTheGold.com, MyMedicare.live. Also a shout out to Brian Burns for the free press at TampaFP.com. Thanks for hearing our content, Brian and Ray Dietrich, RedVoiceMedia.com. We're actually streaming the 8 locations right now. 3 of those are Facebook pages that belong to Red Voice Media, and they've got about 1 million followers on those 3 Facebook pages alone, not to mention the other sources that we're streaming to. So thanks to Red Voice Media for helping make that happen. Now, guys, just to whet your appetite on what we're getting ready to talk about, and I know Betsy's going to be all over the first one, but the Ninth Circuit agrees that with the amicus brief filed by the National Police Association, which is who Betsy's with, on behalf of LAPD officer, and we're big fans of Tony McBride. We talk about her all the time, and yeah, there is good news for Tony McBride, and really not just for Tony, but for officers all over the country, especially in California, though, in reference to this. We're also going to be talking about a bank robbery suspect that threatened tellers with a bomb, but he was fatally shot by police as he exits the bank with the bomb. I bet he'll never do that again. We've also got a traffic camera video that shows a Scottsdale police officer shooting and killing an armed suspect in a stolen SUV. And then we've got a Fond du Lac deputy justified that left a resident dead and a sheriff's office canine critically injured. That was kind of a hard video to watch. And then, of course, we've got a former Pennsylvania police chief receiving a $2.5 million settlement after alleging racial discrimination and his firing. And he's a white dude. So, we've got some interesting stuff coming down. So let's start off with this first one at lawofficer.com. Ninth Circuit agrees with amicus brief filed by the National Police Association. Good for them, on behalf of LAPD officer Tony McBride. Pay attention who fights the battles for us, guys, because those are the people you need to support. So we're in Indianapolis. So in June of 2022, the National Police Association, the NPA, they filed an amicus brief in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. That's a tough circuit, by the way, of the estate of Daniel Hernandez. And it was versus the city of Los Angeles. Now, Daniel Hernandez is going to be our bad guy. The case raised important questions about the right of police to use deadly force in defense of themselves and others. So in this case, after causing a serious multiple car accident, Daniel Hernandez confronted officer Tony McBride of the LAPD. And he had a box cutter in his hand. We covered this extensively on the show. And I mean extensively. We got in a huge debate. We had an attorney, Ward Mythaler, that was a Harvard grad that had problems with shots 5 and 6 that Tony McBride had, although the other panelists didn't seem to have much of a problem with that at all. And so this guy is advancing on her with a box cutter, refusing repeated commands to drop the weapon until she fires her weapon. And although he never dropped the weapon, it took 6 shots before he stopped attempting to reach her, and he did not survive the assault. So he died. But his estate lives on, which is why we're having this conversation. The article does not really say anything about, I know shots 5 and 6 that some people had an issue with. I did not, because I was looking at the backdrop, and just thank God we have Tony McBride pulling the trigger on this, because she did not. Every bullet, from what I remember, made contact with the bad guy. It's not like most police shootings where, you know, we're lucky we get 50% and make the target 50% of the time. And Scott's probably just about ready to have a vein bust out of his head saying, really, the stats that look for cops, but they are. But anyway, Tony would nail the target every time, but there were civilians, innocent civilians around this guy when he had the night when he's getting up. And if she wouldn't have fired shots 5 and 6, he was within striking distance of those civilians. So Hernandez's relative sued Officer McBride, the LAPD, and also the city of Los Angeles, alleging that she violated Daniel Hernandez's constitutional rights by defending herself. And I would just throw in there, you know, the other citizens as well. In its brief, the MPA warned that it would be, quote, contrary to the interest of law enforcement and social order, generally to create a rule of constitutional law denying the use of deadly force against armed suspects that were advancing on police officers who refused commands to drop the weapon. And it goes on to say that police officers cannot effectively maintain control of violent offenders on the nation's streets and prevent further injury to the public if their only option available is to retreat until the suspects somehow get controlled without the use of deadly force. And it says that would create an unreasonable risk to the lives of police officers and the public. And the doctrine of qualified immunity and the U.S. Constitution did not require that risk. So the federal appellate court ruled that the legal doctrine of qualified immunity, which protects Officer McBride from federal claims, we're talking about like civil claims, civil lawsuits. The NPA is represented by, and I want to hear about this guy, Betsy, James L. Is it Bucall of the Murphy Bucall LLPD? That guy sounds like he's doing some amazing work for you guys. So that's what we have. Bessie Brantner Smith.
Yeah, so we have a terrific team of attorneys at the National Police Association. That's one of the big things that we do. We get involved in cases like the Tony McBride case. And, you know, whether, you know, sometimes we're representing individual officers, other times we're representing, you know, bodies of people, individual police departments, things like that. And so here's the thing that we need to go back and remember when this occurred, 2020, right? You know, can't get more law enforcement hate than in 2020. In December of 2020, the original ruling was by the LA Police Commission. And they said that Tony McBride broke department policy, not with the first 4 shots that she placed into Hernandez, but with those second 2 shots. It's worth noting 2 things. Tony McBride's dad is on the LA Police Union, the Police Protective League. He is on that board. He's a well-known guy. And why not screw with him via his daughter, right? It's also worth noting Tony McBride is a very well-known Instagram influencer. She's a petite, beautiful female who, you know, she's a top shot. She's trained people like Keanu Reeves. So she is just, she's really everything you would want in a police officer. I encourage everyone to go on YouTube and look at that shooting video and look at the way that this 23-year-old woman, remember, most 23-year-olds in this country are sitting in a corner with blue dyed hair and a therapy puppy rocking back and forth because they've been offended by something that they saw on TV. Tony McBride is out taking control of the scene, doing everything she can, not just to protect her, but to protect those citizens around Hernandez. So they said that she, you know, they put her on leave. She violated policy, this and that. But before they did that, they told her, take down your Instagram, take down your social media. Now, my daughter is a social media influencer. Those kids make money from that stuff. And she, this was her legitimate side hustle. All of us cops got side hustles, right? That's how we actually make a living. And so they said, you know what? You take down your slip. She said, no. So she fought this case. We helped her fight it. And this has huge implications for law enforcement around the nation because the use of deadly force is so important, not just to us, but who are we trying to protect? Not just each other, but the citizens that we have sworn to serve and protect. Now, I want to say this. Tony McBride now has an immune disorder because of all the stress involved in this, but she's back to work and she's fighting the good fight. Go on Instagram, follow her at Real Tony McBride, and go to the nationalpolice.org and read more about this case. And we thank law officer and Travis Yates for covering this case.
Yeah, you know, lawofficer.com gave some great coverage on this, and I'm glad we became aware of it. And I use lawofficer.com as a source for stories because I've got caught with my pants down before with some other sources where we put it out, and maybe the information is not vetted, and we put false stuff out there. So you got to be careful. But yeah, I've never been embarrassed by lawofficer.com. It lets us know about MPA and what you guys have going, you know, behind the scenes too. And my hat's off to the organization, you know, for getting involved in this. And it's just, it's a quiet fight because we're, you know, you've been doing this, you've been involved in this for a while. I was totally unaware. So I'm so glad, that I found out and that we can help get the word out there. But MPA does this stuff, and you guys are, it wasn't LAPD, fighting this, and it was MPA, I mean, you guys are taking the lead on this, the tip of the spear for everybody. So thank you.
Thanks so much for pointing that out, Chip. But here's the thing. I want everybody to understand this. This was all based on emotion, the emotion of 2020 that everything happened at the feet of St. George Floyd in 2020 and beyond. And that's exactly what this case was about. And this Hernandez's family had all this emotional testimony in court and also before the Police Protective League. And we can't decide legal cases based on emotion. It's got to stop.
Well, hold that thought. Commercial break, guys. We'll be right back. All right, guys, you guys have heard about Galsch, right? The country's leading uniform clothing equipment and gear provider for law enforcement. And they have a variety of offerings, everything from multi-tools and flashlights to duty boots and tactical gear. And as our panelist, Captain Brett Bartlett, always points out, they pretty much have everything for law enforcement except for guns and ammo. So if you haven't checked out the new Galsch lately, please go to galsch.com/Leo and check them out. Now, notice I said they had a uniform program, which, of course, is second to none. Even my former agency, the Tampa Police Department, they have a Galsch uniform office on the second floor lobby, Tampa Police Headquarters. They're absolutely killing it, and they got rid of the other two uniform companies that they had prior to that. So yeah, galsch.com/Leo, and they have gift cards, and they're not just for law enforcement. Even guys like Scott Steyer, former military, or whether our host dragging buddies, the firefighters want stuff. If you have family, friends, or loved ones involved in the military, firefighting or law enforcement, please go to galsch.com/Leo. Get them a gift card. They'll be your new best friends. galsch.com/Leo. Check them out. You'll be glad that you did. Now, introducing Aero Defense by Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. That's right. We're talking about long guns, guys, and born from an aerospace engineering company, so they know what they're doing. Aero Defense by Aero Precision demands perfection because settling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. Now, if you visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com, look for their lineup that matches every discipline because they really have something for everybody. Since 1994, they've quietly been leading the AR Builder parts domain, and now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with Solus bolt actions. And stay tuned because the M4E1 Pro and the Mod 4 handguards are hitting AeroPrecisionUSA.com later this year, the embodiments of duty rifle excellence, but they're now being tailored for the civilian customer, which is you guys. In addition, their M5 AR-308 platform, a great sniper platform, hey, that's nothing short of spectacular. So don't settle for less, but you can have the best. Go to AeroPrecisionUSA.com. All right, guys, welcome back to the Leo Roundtable Law Enforcement Talk Show. Yes, we are still live, and we've got Betsy Brantner-Smith with the National Police Association. We're talking about this huge win for LAPD and really cops all around the country, and, of course, especially Officer Tony McBride with LAPD. So, Betsy, the floor is yours.
So I want to talk about just a couple of things, and one is, I want to recognize the importance of police leadership in some of these use of force cases. And when you talk
about Michael Moore with LAPD?
Yes, the former chief of LAPD.
Oh, that's true.
He was a guy who, when he came to the LAPD, and again, we've got to couch everything in 2020. When he came to the LAPD, one of the first things that he did after the death of George Floyd is get rid of all thin blue line flags, right? Get rid of all of these out of the stations and that, because one person complained that this was a symbol of white supremacy and this and that. He, in other words, this was a guy, and this is something, of course, Travis Yates from Law Officer talks about all the time, weak leadership, right? Non-courageous leadership. So that's one of the issues with this case. And that, that's one of the things that the National Police Association looks at when getting involved in these cases is we look at the leadership, and we're not afraid to take them on. We're also not afraid to appreciate good police leadership around this country. Now, I also want to point out, when we're talking about the Tony McBride case, for every great outcome like this, our continued cases that are going on, if y'all haven't seen it, the AP, the Associated Press, or as we like to call it, the Associated Propagandists, just came out with a 10-year study on law enforcement use of force. It's full of non-facts and gaslighting. So one of the things that we got to do, and Chip, that's why your show is so incredibly important, is that we have got to back law enforcement, understand the facts, and help to fight that false narrative that somehow the American law enforcement officer is the problem. Because for every bit of false narrative that's out there, that makes it more dangerous for our brothers and sisters. Everybody, please go to nationalpolice.org, sign up for our newsletter, hit that donate button. We can't do this without you.
And just for clarification, Betsy, if they donate, does it have to be just a one time, or can they do a monthly donation too?
You can do, and that this is what I do, is that monthly donation where, you know, I do National Police Association, Tunnels to Towers, and my political party here in Pima County, Arizona, because I might know the chairman. We just so appreciate those donations. We don't just do legal stuff. You know, we've got me going out into the den of the media, and we also have... We will buy your canine a body armor if you can't afford it. We'll help you start an explorer program. We have a free homeschool program for you homeschoolers where you can go to nationalpolice.org, download our program for free. Wow. So you can teach your kids how wonderful the American law enforcement is and how we are tied to the Constitution and to the American justice system. We do so much. Make that monthly donation if you can.
Yeah. So what you're basically saying, if people are having trouble sleeping at night, this is like the perfect solution. You go to bed and you know that your dollars are, you know, donation dollars are going for all these great causes. So, wow. All
right. Absolutely.
So I saw Scott Steyer and Joe Rollerson writing down the, you know, the URL on there, you know, the web address. So thank you, Betsy. Guys, if there's no, you know, I tell you, Tony McBride is kind of like, if you threw Scott in like a skirt and maybe slimmed him up a little bit, put like some curves on him, that's Tony McBride is what I'm thinking, you know? She is
gorgeous. And, you know, here's the thing. She got married about what, Chip, 6 months ago. One of the things that she did was as she took this lovely photo of her bridal party and they all were holding long guns, you know, or pistols or whatever.
I love it.
The national media excoriated her. Killer of poor victim of car accident, you know, poses with guns. And she stood up to that just like she stands up to everything else. You know, whether or not her agency supports her, you know, she's a brave young woman. She deserves our absolute admiration. She is what, you know, there's this thing called 30 by 30 where they're trying to get more women into law enforcement. Yeah. She should be the poster child for that. You know, we got to quit the DEI stuff. She's a qualified young female and we need more like her.
Yeah, she's got a little bit of her daddy in her, I think. When Michael Moore, the chief, was telling her to shut down, you know, the Instagram and stop doing this, stop doing that. And then I see her with a wedding dress holding like an AR-15 and then her husband doing the same thing. And then you mentioned the bridal party. It was just like, it was just kind of letting them know it was, you know, where she stood for the right reasons, but also, I don't want to say a dare, but, you know, she really was taking a stand for all of us, all of American law enforcement. And it takes some guts to do that. So
it really does. You know, this country, we're in the situation we're in this nation because, right-minded people didn't stand up. You know, this young woman is standing up and she's of a generation that is not necessarily known for that. So she needs our support and our encouragement. And that's one of the many reasons National Police Association decided to get involved.
Well, thanks, guys, for getting involved, Betsy. And look, your attorneys are that law firm you've got. They're killing it, too. So let's jump over to lawofficer.com. We have a bank robbery suspect threatening tellers with a bomb and fatally shot by police as he exits with the device. We're still in California, but we're in Fullerton, California. And I've only got a little over a minute before we take our second commercial break. But so listen to this. So law enforcement authorities in Southern California said a bank robbery suspect, he threatened to detonate a bomb. And then he ends up being fatally shot by police as he exits the business on Tuesday. I'm sure every cop watching the show is wishing that he would have been the dude outside the bank when the guy exits, right? The drama unfolds in Orange County when officers with the Fullerton Police Department respond to the Wells Fargo Bank. And it's about 5 10 p.m. in the afternoon regarding a robbery in progress call, according to the Fox 11 Los Angeles. So officials said that this guy enters the bank. He's wearing a mask, demands money from the teller, adds that he held a device, and he claimed that it was a bomb. People inside the bank told police that the man produced what appeared to be an explosive device. So cops had to have got tipped off at some point before he exits, you know, that what's going on the inside of the bank. And we're getting close to this commercial break. And there's so much good stuff getting ready to go down with this. So look, we're going to have to wait till the commercial break, but stick with us, guys. It's going to get really, really good. Commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys, if you're struggling with the ins and outs of warrantless searches and seizures, or if you're worried about the liability of getting it wrong, say hello to bluethegold.com. They translate search and seizure documents into clear, straightforward concepts that any officer can relate to. Plus, they give the training for free thanks to bluethegold.com's free weekly webinars. Now, they just did one on DUI checkpoints, and they got some great stuff. So sign up at bluethegold.com today and join thousands of your peers in blue and step up your legal game because, frankly, you and your agency cannot afford not to. So now AU Fire at AUFire.com. It stands for Accuracy Under Fire. And now that is the gold standard in tactical simulations. So for the first time ever, agencies and LEOs can safely simulate being hit by gunfire, knives, and other objects in AU Fire's dynamic force-on-force scenarios. If you've ever wondered how your officers would react or wish you could train them in real-world situations, now you can, all while improving their decision-making, return fire accuracy, and life preservation skills thanks to AUFire.com. Go to the website, check out the cool videos, learn about this amazing product, AUFire.com. All right, guys, welcome back to the Leo Roundtable Law Enforcement Talk Show. We are still live. You can get more information about us at LeoRoundtable.com. So, you know, we left off talking about a story where we've got, I guess, a learning curve here. We got a bank robbery suspect threatening tellers with a bomb, and he ends up being fatally shot by police as he exits, and he's got the device in his possession when he exits. So people inside the bank told the police that the guy produced what appeared to be an explosive device. After the officers arrived at the scene, the suspect exits the bank, and he's still carrying the device. He fails to comply with police commands. He ends up being neutralized by a single gunshot fired by law enforcement personnel. I know Betsy's getting all animated. I'm having trouble, you know, looking at the article, but then I see all this animation going on the other side of my screen, you know, from Betsy. So the unnamed man in his 70s, he's in his 70s. You've got to be kidding me. I mean, he's pronounced dead at the scene. So at least we've got a cop, you know, with 100% accuracy on the one shot. So I'm assuming, Scott, we're talking about a sniper here, a sniper shot. But witness Jennifer Cerna said that with their guns drawn, and then the door to the bank opens, and the guy comes out, and they said, drop, and he doesn't listen, and they shoot him. So maybe they told him to drop once. Not that it matters. The guy's got a device in his hand. I'm just thinking to myself, what are you waiting for? One shot, and that was that. That's what the witness said. So the explosive device was later determined to be a fake. That's not a big shock. Joe, why don't you start us off on this? And Scott, I definitely want you to contribute, you know, because you're with AeroPrecisionUSA.com and formerly with STAG. What would be the perfect setup to use this? And would it be that new 308 platform that we're talking about? But go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, when I read the article and I saw the guy was 70 years old, normally you don't get 70-year-old people going into a bank to rob it unless they're got some really bad mental issues or there's something going on there. He was doing this, I think, probably to have the police kill him. Yeah, and if you look at his background, he's probably got financial issues, maybe family issues, because you just don't have 70-year-old people going into a bank, robbing banks. You just don't do it. I mean, we've all been in law enforcement forever. I don't think I've ever arrested a 70-year-old robbing a bank. Now, I had a 90-year-old guy trying to pick up a prostitute, but never.
That is very common.
Yeah, it is. That was funny, but that's another story. The thing I really like about this is they interviewed the witness, and she was so nonchalant. She goes, yeah, the cop was there. He told him to drop it, and one shot, and that was that. And she was just so nonchalant about it that, hey, you rob a bank with a bomb and that's that.
So, yeah.
But I feel there was the poor guy probably had some other issues and he was looking at an easy way of getting out of this world.
Would they have done it any differently in Pima County, Betsy?
Well, I remember I was a cop in Illinois, but no, I don't think we would have done it any differently. I just like to say that this poor guy in his 70s, you know, it's Joe Biden's economy. So maybe he just had no other no other hope. You know, everything is up beyond belief. And, you know, it is sad. I think Joe's right. I'm sure there's some mental health issues. You know, but the law enforcement response, you know, sounds really spot on. But, you know, I'm surprised the headline doesn't read something like elderly man murdered by police for holding inanimate object, you know.
Yeah. Well, speaking about the economy, I'm feeling it. I mean, heck, look at Scott. You know, that room he's in was filled with furniture last week, and he's been having to liquidate furniture just to survive. You know, I mean, there was a couch to the left. There was like some big armoire in the back wall. That's gone now. I mean, remember what's on the screen, because next time we see Scott, you're going to have little items missing next week. So, but Scott, in all seriousness, if you were on this call, and your mic's still muted, by the way, but if you were on this call and you were maybe a SWAT team call or whatever, and you're going to be the sniper in charge of having to take this guy out if he came out with this supposed alleged explosive device, what would have been your choice from Aero Precision?
That's an easy one. It would be our Solus sniper rifle. It's extremely accurate. And it would be, you know, the whole idea of if somebody has a bomb or IED, because we would deal with the suicide bombers overseas. And obviously, if that is the case, you want to eliminate the subject, I mean, immediately. So like, if you take a shot, ideally, you would want to take a headshot, mm-hmm. because then if you do everything right, then they don't have the ability to still be alive and clack it off, you know, and because, you know, people don't die right away all the time, right? The thing is that if you try to take a headshot, it's one of the hardest shots to take because it's a smaller, you know, it's a smaller target, and the head is also, it's always moving around. It's just a hard shot to take. So you would want ideally to have a sniper system, something with, you know, a nice magnified optic, a good shooting position, and then a round that was capable of eliminating it quickly. So a pistol is not ideal. Obviously it can be done. So yeah, a sniper rifle would be ideal. Something like a 308, you know, which is very common for the law enforcement use for their sniper systems.
So specifically, just out of curiosity, what 308 round would you prefer if you were going to be using a 308 round on this out of a long gun?
I you know, there's a lot of good rounds out there, but the 168 grain seem to shoot like very well, and most shots are taken well within 100 meters. So it's you know, you don't really need something that's going to be very, you know, good at buck and wind out at distance, like the 6.5 Creedmoors, even though that's a very good round. But where that round shines is beyond 400 and 500 meters. The 308 is an excellent round, and it's also still, you know, very, very affordable, and it's easy to get a hold of.
Yeah. And of course, in this case, you're just firing one. Yeah. Now, if Tony McBride would have been there, I would have been comfortable her using a pistol all day in this particular situation. So, I know Betsy. I had to throw it out there.
I know. And here's the thing. I get asked this all the time in the media. Why doesn't law enforcement do this? Why don't they do that? You know, exactly, you know, using the type of stuff Scott is talking about. Because very likely what happened in this case, and it happens in most cases like this, you've got a patrol officer or two armed with, you know, a Smith & Wesson M&P in 9mm or some sort of Glock 40 cal. And they've got to come up on a very dynamic situation. And let's not forget that the vast majority of bank calls and bank alarms are false. So they're coming up on this, and here comes Grandpa with a fake bomb. You don't know it's fake. And, you know, so and this is the thing. People, the public thinks that we train the way special forces train. And they wonder, this is why they tell us, oh, why didn't you shoot him in the arm? Why didn't you shoot him in the leg? Why did you do a headshot? You know, most cops, you know, spend about, what, you know, 5 hours a year on firearms training. I mean, it's really, exactly. And so, you know, I love hearing what Scott talks about. And Scott, we need to talk later about, I'm about to turn 65 and I need a birthday present. And I want a new long gun for my Wyoming antelope hunt for the fall. We need to talk.
Oh, I have just the rifle for you.
Yes. I thought she was going to ask him to jump out of a cake, Joe. I don't know if you saw that coming or not, but that's where I'm thinking this is going. Wow, I was completely shocked with that at the end of that question. Okay.
Happy birthday to Betsy.
Well, the other thing with these shootings and people, they're very, the average guy out there, they don't understand law enforcement. And also the statute, it's deadly force. If we're going to pull our weapon to shoot, we're not shooting to wound somebody. If you can do that, you're not in fear of your life. When you're pulling a weapon to protect yourself or the public, and you're trying to neutralize that threat as soon as possible. We're not trying to just, let's, wing them and see what happens. This isn't the Wild West here. So, but people all the time, they ask me, why didn't you shoot the guy in the leg? Why didn't you shoot him in the arm? Well, it doesn't work like that. You're trying to neutralize it. And like Scott said, you want to put that threat down quickly.
Yeah, because it's not like in the movies, where it's not always like that. Obviously every situation is different, but many times people get shot in the leg, the arm, and it doesn't slow them down. It doesn't stop them, especially with a pistol round. It's not one of those things like boom and they're like, okay, ow, it hurts. No, I mean, if it doesn't hit bone, if it just hits muscle, then that person is still capable of continuing to possibly hurt the officer or someone in the public around. So, I mean, the idea is just to eliminate that threat. And it's obviously a threat because that's why the person being shot. So for somebody to say, why don't you shoot to wound them? I mean, that's way harder to do because now I'm trying to look at a limb that's flapping around or moving. It's just a much more difficult shot to take. And then the likelihood of missing, and then that bullet goes where? I don't know. It could go out into the public. It could hit grandma. It could be hit a kid, and then you're gonna be like, well, why did you miss? It's like, well, the largest part to shoot in the body just so happens to be like, this is the best person or the part to shoot a person because this is where the heart's at. And, all the vitals are right here, and it's the larger portion of the body. So whoever says that has no understanding of how people react whenever they get shot and shooting under stress.
You're right, Scott. All right, guys.
Under stress in order to
time for our last commercial break. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys. Hey, we are going to be talking about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And no matter how much you know about guns and ammunition or how much you think that you know, there's that knowledge gap that leaves you confused and missing the complete picture. GunLearn.com, though, they've taken the confusion of learning and they've actually made it easy. GunLearn.com is the first and the only company that offers a step-by-step program that takes you from your present knowledge level to become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist. Now, they provide citations from federal law and ATF rulings for every point taught to ensure accuracy, and their training is approved by major forensic organizations, by law enforcement agencies, and also firearm manufacturers. Since 1996, they've taught everything that LEOs, that's law enforcement officers, need to know about firearms and ammunition to all facets of law enforcement. Now, you can start today with online training, or you can sign up to attend a live seminar, and you can actually get free training for yourself and the personnel at your agency by hosting a seminar at no cost. So come aboard as one of the most firearm knowledgeable people in the world by joining the folks at GunLearn.com. All right, guys, welcome back to the Leo Roundtable Law Enforcement Talk Show. Yes, we're in the last stretch of the show. We've got the next 9.5 minutes to get through it. So Scott, sorry to cut you off there. I know you were talking about the last story and stuff. Is there, I don't know if there's anything you want to add, but Betsy, your mic is open. So go ahead and jump in.
I got, again, as we talk about this, I was actually looking forward to some of the other stories we talk about. But again, going back to our use of deadly force, use of force is never pretty. And, sure. Unfortunately, that's what law enforcement has to do. And we, again, stemming from 2020, everybody, cops need to know this and they need to do this. They need to, and yet the most high profile thing that we do, which is use force, we actually have the least amount of training on it. And because a lot of jurisdictions say, well, I need you to have a proper pronoun training and we need to do this DEI certification, this and that. So, y'all put your guns down and the media television doesn't do us much good. Right. When we talk about, we were just talking about Keanu Reeves at the break, what a great shot he is and what a great shot Officer Tony McBride is. But most cops aren't aren't like that. And and a lot of it is because we just are not afforded the opportunity.
I agree. Well, I think we have time to get two more in, and these both have video components too. So look, before we start, if you're listening to us audibly, you know, maybe your favorite podcast or radio station, please stay loyal to those platforms that are bringing you this good quality content. In return, we'll describe in great detail what's going on in any video so that you don't feel like you're missing out on anything. But if, however, you still feel like you need to watch the video component, you know, we take this live show, which is Monday through Friday during the lunch hour. That's 12 to 1 o'clock Eastern time. And we reproduce it, a special version of it, where we embed all the videos we talk about. We put pictures of the good guys and the bad guys. And that segment comes out at 9 o'clock in the morning on our Rumble channel. And that is at Leo Roundtable. It's 9 o'clock Eastern time. So you always have the opportunity to watch that. That's Tuesday through Saturday. So this story, Rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter, who's actually on the stream talking with us right now. Traffic camera video shows us Scottsdale police officer, a shooting, killing an armed suspect that's in a stolen SUV. So the video, it's from a traffic camera. It shows drivers moving before the camera focuses on a dark-colored SUV that's being followed by a marked Scottsdale police SUV. And the SUV, the police SUV, has got its lights on, overhead lights. So police say that the 52-year-old, I guess it's Laquanza Young, he's driving the SUV. So this is our 52-year-old bad guy, and he comes up to this traffic light. And, of course, the marked cruiser comes up behind him. And Young's going north, moves into the left turn lane, stops at the red light. Uniform officer is seen getting out of his marked SUV, which is, of course, behind the bad guy. But since the video doesn't have any audio, it's unclear if the officer's shouting commands or not. The officer is out of his SUV, and he's got a long gun, Scott. I'm sure you're happy, right? You're, like, praising the officer. We're seeing more long guns in stories now, which is a fantastic thing. I know Betsy agrees. So the officer's out of the SUV. He's got his long gun. He's drawn on our bad guy, Young. Young opens his driver's door. Then the camera zooms in as Young, the bad guy, gets out. He faces the officer, and he starts shooting with a handgun. Now, one officer from the marked SUV is seen returning fire, while an officer in an unmarked truck also returns fire, but you can't see him on the camera. So Young, our bad guy, gets back in his SUV for cover, but he's kind of like half in, half out. He's got his right leg on the outside of the door's open. He's got his right leg out, and he's using the gun for not concealment, but for cover too. But he's still the car's getting so lit up. I don't even know if his leg got hit, but his leg was exposed. The video shows bullets shattering the driver's side window. More rounds are being fired. There's a firefight going on, guys. And Young is seen in the video trying to hide in the driver's seat, but his leg's sticking out. Bullets damage the SUV, pop the back tire. The camera then pans to the right. It shows a second officer in another marked SUV. Young dies in the SUV, doesn't make it out of it. Police said the SUV was stolen from Phoenix and Scottsdale spots it using those automatic tag readers, which are a great tool. One officer involved in the shooting has 3 years of experience, and the other had 24 years of experience, which is a pretty good mix. So, wow, exciting stuff, guys. Anyhow, what did you like? What did you not like? And Joe, you want to start us off?
Yeah, they obviously they were prepared. They knew that this car was stolen. That's why they had the other guy, the two backups in the van. And the guy got out with a long gun. He knew that the vehicle was stolen, and he was prepared to take the bad guy down. Well, the bad guy, he wasn't prepared to go easily, and the idiot jumps out with a pistol at a rifle fight, which wasn't too smart. And they let him up, and he got what he deserved. And going back to what Betsy said, I think she said it during the break. Law enforcement, we get a really bad rap in the news media. This situation would shed a whole different light on law enforcement, what we have to deal with every day, if this was put on the news. But they don't put this on the news, how officers get out of their vehicle and immediately are being shot at by bad guys. This would change a lot of people's mind as to what we have to go through and what we have to deal with every day and possibly get killed by these bad guys.
You know, I got to tell you, Joe, I live about an hour and a half south of Scottsdale, and I saw some of the local media coverage on this. And there was one media outlet here that said, well, it was just a stolen car. Why did they have to do that?
Wow. So, but, you know, but they didn't. OK, it was a stolen car, but the guy got out with a pistol and he's trying to. Kill
right. But him. I mean, yeah. Why did they have to bother this man? He just had a stolen car. That is, you know, and people don't think about that, you know, in Arizona. But that's one of the things that we're dealing with in the Phoenix metro area. You know, Scott, if you're not familiar with Scottsdale, it's a very nice suburb of Phoenix. And but we have an activist class here that says, well, you know, why did the police have to just light him up like that? And it's absolutely insane. But I agree with you, Joe. If people saw this, but again, people watch videos like this and they don't put themselves into it. You know, they see it kind of as either shocking or salacious or entertaining. And they don't really think about, you know, those two police officers, 3 years on the job, 24 years on the job. Those cops are, you know, moms and dads and parents and maybe grandparents and things like that with mortgages to pay and lives to live. They don't. That's one of the things that shows like this do is humanizing the badge. That's what we need to continue.
Well, it's like the police officer in New York who's being buried today that was shot by a bad guy. Yeah. He just walked up
21 arrests.
Exactly. And he was unaware of what he was walking up to. At least these guys knew what they were approaching. They were prepared. And this is the situation. You walk up and you get shot.
Yeah. Absolutely. And the thing is law-abiding citizens don't steal cars. I mean, typically.
Exactly.
I'm just saying. Not everybody who steals a car is a murderer. I understand that. But at the same time, you know, you have to be prepared for everything. So kudos to those officers for having the long gun out, because as I was watching that, I would wonder if, you know, because he did get in there to seek cover and concealment while he was shooting, maybe a 9mm round wouldn't have been as effective in that situation. And it could have, you know, continued on to where now that bad guy's shooting back. And again, those bullets are going somewhere. You know, it could an innocent person, not only the cop. So, I mean, I thought overall, I mean, kudos. I mean, they were
prepared.
You know, Scott, you touched on a point that these are bad guys who are stealing cars. And like I said, I think a week or so ago when I was on the show, I ran a auto theft task force for 2 years. And it wasn't that we were just catching guys who stole cars. We were catching guys that were in stolen cars that just robbed. They burglarized. They had committed murders. And you wouldn't believe the charges that we got on these guys when we got them out of stolen cars. But they're using stolen cars for another purpose.
Yeah. Scott, you've got a question from MVS saying 6mm Creedmoor or 308? I don't know if I said that right.
Well, yeah, no, that's right. So it's really depends on what it's for. Like, so for example,
you got 30 seconds.
An antelope hunt, right? I would use a 6.5 Creedmoor over a 6 Creedmoor over a 308 because it's going to, I mean, for one, it's really good. It bucks the wind very well. It's good at shooting at long distance. It doesn't have a whole lot of recoil. So when you take that shot, it's easier to get a follow-up shot. And then if it's far enough around and if you have the right muzzle device and if it's a heavier rifle, you can actually call your own shots. 308 is going to buck a little bit more. The recoil is worse, and you can't shoot at distance as well because it's more affected by the wind. The BC of the bullet is not as high as like a 6 creep. Yeah. So
speaking my language, Scott. Thank you.
Betsy loves it, man. She's going crazy. Hey, Betsy, thank you, Scott, for answering that. Appreciate it. We are out of time, but we've got roughly 42 seconds. Betsy, nationalpolice.org, your last spin on nationalpolice.org.
Guys, I'll tell you what we do. We defend law enforcement agencies, officers, the supporters. We get involved in litigation. We are activists. We communicate. We have tools for cops, for people who support cops. Go to nationalpolice.org, sign up for that newsletter, and click that donate button. A one-time donation or a monthly donation. It all goes to good use.
Perfect. Arrow Precision, Gauls, AU Fire, GunLearn, BlueTheGold.com, on Medicare.live, also the Free Press at TampaFP.com, Red Voice Media, RedVoiceMedia.com. Don't forget the Wounded Blue, thewoundedblue.org. We'll see you guys back tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.